Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 123. The three stanzas. If we have forgotten the name of our God, or unto an idol our hand spread abroad, shall not the Almighty uncover this sin? He knows all our hearts and the secrets within and what follows. Psalter 123. The three stanzas. The scripture reading for this evening hour can be found in the epistle of Paul to Philemon, and afterwards from the confession of faith, article number 14. The epistle of Paul to Philemon. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. A grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoy thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such a one as Paul, the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I beseech thee for my son, Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him that is mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever, and not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, specially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it, albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, and knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. But withal prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. There salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. From the Confession of Faith, as you can find it on page 11, in the back of the Psalter, article number 14. Article 14. The creation and fall of man and his incapacity to perform what is truly good. We believe that God created man out of the dust of the earth and made and formed him after his own image and likeness, good, righteous and holy, capable in all things to will agreeably to the will of God. But being in honor, he understood it not, and neither knew his excellency, but willfully subjected himself to sin, and consequently to death and the curse, given ear to the words of the devil. For the commandment of life, which he had received, he transgressed, and by sin separated himself from God, who was his true life, having corrupted his whole nature, whereby he made himself liable to corporal and spiritual death, and being thus become wicked, perverse, and corrupt in all his ways, he hath lost all his excellent gifts, which he had received from God, and only retained a few remains thereof, which, however, are sufficient to leave man without excuse. For all the light which is in us is changed into darkness, as the Scriptures teach us, saying, the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Whereas John called men darkness. Therefore we reject all that is taught repugnant to this concerning the free will of man, since man is but a slave to sin, and has nothing of himself unless it is given him from heaven. For who may presume to boast that he of himself can do any good, since Christ saith, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, who will glory in his own will, who understands that to be carnally minded is enmity against God. Who can speak of his knowledge, since the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God? In short, who dare suggest any thought, since he knows that we are not sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but that our sufficiency is of God? And therefore what the apostle saith, are justly to be held sure and firm, that God worketh in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. For there is no will nor understanding conformable to the divine will and understanding, but what Christ hath wrought in man, which he teacheth us when he saith, without me ye can do nothing. Let us ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Most merciful Lord of the heavens and of the earth, on this beautiful evening of this spring day, and then thou yet granteth unto us and our children the opportunity to come up to thy house, what thou hast to say unto us. Then hitherto in this week thou wast spared the whole congregation. Thou wast granted many a blessing and many a privilege above so many of the people upon this earth. And then the apostles ask, and who maketh thee to differ, our Lord, that is thee alone. And we have heard it out of the confession of our fathers, based upon thy holy word, how deeply we have fallen, and that we have plunged ourselves into the deepest misery, impossible to recover ourselves. Then almighty grace is necessary. Then for our country, it has been a very solemn week, where it was a week of elections. And then the inhabitants of this nation, then they have not chosen for thee, for thy word, for thy institutions, the sanctity of the Lord's day, the upholding of the seventh commandment, not chosen for the unborn and for the elderly. O Lord, thou hast written in thy holy word that the judge standeth before the door. May that be impressed upon all of our hearts, the very serious and solemn times where our country continues on its downward spiral to destruction, and where there is so little mention and acknowledgement that thou art the supreme ruler over the heavens and the earth, and that thou art so worthy to be served, to be obeyed, as so little heard of sin, of guilt, and the necessity of humiliation and repentance. And thou hast given unto us thy holy scriptures many examples of the kings when they departed from thee, and that thou hast come first with lesser and then with greater judgments. The solemnest of old has declared, my flesh trembleth because of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments. And the prophet is also, another prophet has declared, woe unto us that we have sinned. The crown has fallen from our heads. Lord, then we commend unto thee the prime minister. Wilt thou open his eyes that he may truly be given to see, to bow his knees, and to open thy holy word? We commend unto thee all those that have been chosen and that have been reelected, and those that still have respect for thy holy word. Wilt thou grant them strength, and wilt thou grant them courage, and Lord, when the judge now standeth before the door, may it be given unto us and our dear children, that truly we may be given to see the seriousness, the solemnity of the time, that we may see the hovering clouds of thy judgments that are also hanging over our nation, that we may hear, see the footsteps of King Jesus upon the earth, and that we as a people, that we may come often in our inner chamber, ah Lord, may it be used closer to thy word, closer to thy throne. Ah, that godly sorrow, Lord, we can speak about it. But where is the sorrow and where is the guilt? Wilt thou grant it unto us and our children, that we may be given to see the signs of the times, and that we may be given to mightily cry unto thee, that in the latter days of the earth thou may do a great work in the midst of us and our dear children, that there may be a hastening for our life's sake, to seek a place of safety, a place of refuge, and that is to be found under the sheltering wings of Emmanuel, whose resurrection we have commemorated by renewal, and who continues together to defend and preserve His church. O Lord, may we and our dear children, may we be given to belong, and to that end also in this evening hour, then we humbly beg of thee that thy word may be richly blessed to that end, that thy kingdom may come, and that thy glory may be exalted to the highest, and that the prayers multiply to that end. Oh, in these dark and serious times where the enmity against thee, thy dear Son, and thy word is greatly on the increase, that thou mayst still grant a rich ingathering among the established churches, among Jew and Gentile, word may still be declared, that there is still room, and that work of gathering thy church, that shall continue till thy dear Son comes upon the clouds of heaven. Lord, we commend unto thee all the special needs, the little infant child that still remains in the hospital. May it please thee to remember him, and that in due time that the parents may return to their dwelling with their precious little gift. Wilt thou be mindful of all those that are under the physician's care in special ways, those taking treatments, those with grave concerns and many fears. We commend unto thee the handicapped ones. Remember those that struggle with weakness of mind, and Lord, do continue to uphold, and remember all the mourning ones. There are many in our midst. May out of that mourning another mourning be wrought by thy Spirit, and that is a mourning for our sins, that godly sorrow, oh, that separation with the God which we cannot miss. Remember the elderly ones, Wilt thou bless the family circles? And now, Lord, we humbly beg of thee for thy help. Do open thy word, and may thy word go forth with power divine. Take away everything that could be a hindrance, a little rest in thy house. Bind the devil, and that for an unworthy and a sinful people, but all, Lord, thou was promised in thy word, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am in the midst of them, and thou knowest how that each and every one, from the smallest to the greatest, has come up to thy house, our Lord. Wilt thou satisfy the hungry and thirsty ones, and those that are not hungry and thirsty? Wilt thou grant it in this hour? Pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 406, the five stanzas. Praise ye the Lord among his saints, new songs of gladness sing. Let Zion's children praise and bless their Maker and their King. And what follows? Psalter 406, the five stanzas. Thank you. in this evening hour with the help of the Lord. We wish to ask your attention for the epistle of Paul to Philemon, the verses 1 through 7, and we shall read the verses 1 and 2. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. Our text words speak of Paul's prologue in his letter to Philemon concerning Onesimus, with four thoughts. In the first place, the recipients of this letter. Secondly, the salutation in this letter. In the third place, the thanksgiving in this letter. And in the fourth place, the joy in this letter. Paul's prologue in his letter to Philemon concerning Onesimus. The recipients of this letter, as we find it in the first two verses. The salutation in the third verse. The thanksgiving in the fourth verse. And the joy in the verses 5, 6, and 7. Beloved congregation, in the Holy Scriptures given by the inspiration of God, as we read in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, and then we have many letters of the Apostle Paul. Many of them are to the churches. We also have the pastoral letters, which were written to Timothy and Titus as ministers of the congregation concerning church life, concerning doctrine, concerning a sanctification. But then we also have this letter of Philemon. It is the shortest letter, and it is more a private letter. Then this letter was written from prison. We read in Acts 28, the last two verses, that Paul was in prison in Rome for 2 years, in his own house, had many liberties, we would say, under house arrest. And then he had the freedom to preach the kingdom of God. And then the last words in the book of Acts, and none forbidding him. It was approximately 62 years after the birth of Christ. And then he has sent four letters out of prison. Philippians, Colossians, Ephesians, and also this letter. And then it is clear when we compare Colossians with Philemon, that Philemon, that he has lived in Colossae, because we read in Colossians 4 verse 9 of Onesimus, and in Colossians 4 verse 17 of Archippus. And now the Apostle Paul had a special reason for writing this letter. and it was granted by the inspiration of the Spirit, and that this letter may be in the Holy Scriptures. Because to understand it aright in this evening, the prologue or the introduction to his letter, and then we must understand the circumstances. The Apostle Paul, he was in Rome in prison. And Colossae, that was in Asia Minor, approximately 100 miles to the east of Ephesus, and about 1,000 miles from Rome. And now Philemon, it is evident that the Lord has blessed him, that he was a wealthy man, and he had a slave called Onesimus. And that slave, he was not happy. He has even stolen from his master, and he has run away from Philemon. And he thought 1,000 miles in that big city of Rome where there are so many people, and then I shall never be recaptured, and then I shall be a free and happy man. But the Lord has captured him, because under the preaching we hope to hear it later in this book. But in short, it is necessary to understand the prologue to understand the circumstances. And now under the preaching of the Apostle Paul, he was converted. And when the Lord converts us, then God's people become our companions, and therefore has become a beloved son of Paul. But Paul realized that Onesimus must be returned to its rightful owner. And then it cannot be different that Onesimus had many fears. If I shall now be sent back to my original owner, what shall all take place? And now Paul, he writes this letter, then we can already understand, congregation, that with the history and the leadings of Onesimus, oh, in the first place, in an outward way, as a slave to run away, we have heard it out of the Confession of Faith, article number 14, how we have departed from the Lord and not willing and not able to return. But now the wonder of free and sovereign grace, that the King, that he is gathering his church and people, there are none that can escape the irresistible work of the Spirit, and there is no heart. Maybe our hearts have become somewhat hardened. Do you have trouble there with congregation? With a heart that is somewhat hardened. That maybe sometime you think with everything that has taken place, the blessings, the goodness, the serious callings in our midst, what has also taken place on Monday with the election results, a nation that is departing further and further from the Lord. No returning, no calling to repentance, the enmity against God and against his word, against his institutions, is greatly increasing. Many laws have already been made, the hate crime speech laws, to silence the church. The past year, a bill has also been tabled to take away charitable status from religious institutions, and not only to take away their charitable status, but also the intent that the worth of their assets that would have to be paid to the government, and if such an institution would not be able, then they would take into possession those assets. Thus, there is much more going on, and it is our duty to stay informed. Blessing and a privilege that we have men that are still politically involved, that we can still show our leaders what is according to the scriptures, but then we see the seriousness of the times. And how has it been in this week? Have we been, I say it very gently, a little troubled with our country, a country that is such a beautiful and rich national anthem, acknowledging the Lord, the need for His blessing, a country that is flowing with milk and honey, many riches from the east to the west coast. How the Lord has used us. The past world wars, together with the United States of America, to free many a country. It's coming Monday, May the 5th. Shall be 80 years that the Netherlands, our fatherland, was liberated from the Germans. Oh, in former days, what a place also in this country God's holy word had. The Sabbath day kept so holy, everything closed. Trucks not allowed on the road. The Lord in the middle 1800s. Also a special revival, and also other times where the Lord has wrought mightily among the white man and among the Indians. But we have left and forsaken the Lord. Must we not say with the prophet Jeremiah, woe unto us that we have sinned, the crown is fallen from our head. Oh, the psalmist has said that rivers of water flow down his eyes because they kept not thy law. And we can speak about it. But where is the true sorrow? Include myself. But was there yet a little sorrow? A little alarmed? A few extra prayers? Were we yet given to ask, Lord, the judge standeth at the door? But we may still be under the truth. Law and gospel may still be proclaimed. Ah, Lord, wilt thou work richly by thy Holy Spirit in the hearts of young and old, and that I may now receive that hiding place under the sheltering wings of the Lord Jesus Christ, that my soul may be saved. Fathers and mothers, have you asked it in this week, or are the times not serious? How much further can we depart from the living God? And The Lord is very long-suffering, but it shall come to an end. But now the slave, he must be returned to his master, has experienced many blessings, but needs to return. Are there souls that understand it? But now we may have much instruction in this letter, because Paul was inspired by the Holy Spirit also in the manner that he would write this letter. And then the slave is not mentioned till the 10th verse. But Paul has first written other things. Ah, surely was such a letter, then the heart of Philemon would become so soft and so humble. And now how was he begun? Different than all his other epistles. All the other epistles, an apostle or servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's not how he began this letter. Because we read Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Two things included in those first words. In the first place, Paul was a prisoner for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul in prison, a free conscience, not remorse. Oh, undoubtedly, because who was sufficient unto these things, then it could not be different than also for Paul, that when he has preached, have I now laid it close enough to the hearts? Have I proclaimed law and gospel, the two ways to the ears? Oh, have I proffered peace and pardon? Have I also warned? But a prisoner for the testimony of Jesus Christ. And there are also many of those prisoners today in other countries, but also in our country, the laws are on the books. And the closer we come to the end of the world, the government to have the laws on the books and at the appointed time to use them against the church. Read in Revelation 13 concerning the warfare. It's not between the rich and the poor, but against the church of Jesus Christ. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, also implied that it was not by chance, that the way, the manner that Paul has come to Rome was also a wonderful way. So wonderfully spared with those 276 in that great storm, but also the place, the time, also when he would be released. That was all in the hands of the King of Jesus Christ, who doeth all things well. And the Lord has given many privileges. House arrest. Many could come and visit, and he could freely, unhindered, preach the gospel. And Timothy, our brother, Thus Timothy was also in Rome with Paul when he was in prison. And Timothy has become a brother, it is true. Different places called a son, a beloved son. Special bonds, special relationship. Thus Philemon, not only writing on behalf of myself, but together with Timothy, my brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow labor. And when we read in this verse, fellow labor, it is not known, it is not clear, because Archippus, it is clear from Colossians, that he officially served. Thus Philemon, he was a fellow laborer. Whether that was officially, we shall leave that lie. But in the church, then we are all called to be fellow laborers. The same enemies, the same king, the same cause, fellow laborers. That is also for the confession of faith class. Then we are to labor together for the welfare of the church. And then next, then we have Apphia. It is not for sure, but the general thought is that she was the wife, the helpmeet of Philemon, and that it was also necessary that this letter would personally be also addressed to her, because the slave has run away, and that she, with her feminine gifts, could also have a blessed influence upon her husband, many times concerning discipline. Then fathers are harsher than mothers, thus she was also included. And then finally, Archippus, our fellow soldier. And then we have mentioned that he is mentioned in Colossians 4, verse 17, a fellow soldier in the militant church against that triple-headed enemy. And then it is needed that those fellow soldiers, that they may be armed, and that armor that has been merited by the Lord Jesus Christ and given by the Spirit unto his church, as we read in Ephesians 6, the verses 12 through 18. And to the church in thy house. Then it seems to be implied, we have mentioned it, Philemon was a man of means. The Lord has richly blessed him. And then the church at Colossae has gathered in his house. In the first centuries, with the establishment of the churches, we read different places in the Bible of the church in the house. Then, of course, it is necessary. Matthew Henry has spoken thereof when he has spoken of family worship. Fathers and mothers and children, that all our houses, in a little way, that they must resemble little churches. with family worship. And then the Lord has promised his blessing thereupon. But now in the first centuries, when there was very much persecution, then we can understand that it would not be possible to build churches, because the enemy would not allow it, and they would break them down. Thus, to that end, then family circles have come together within their houses. Undoubtedly, maybe Philemon has built an addition to his house as a little sanctuary, and there the church is gathered. From archaeology, the first churches, they believe, were built in the 4th century, because in the year 313, then Constantine the Great, then he has given the same freedoms and liberties to Christians than to the other people. And then the congregations, they have begun to build their sanctuaries and their churches where they may come together. And that's a great privilege and a great blessing. Many countries, China, there have been some decades that there were many freedoms in China, opportunity to bring the gospel. But now the government is greatly clamping down. Many churches has been demolished, unless it is a church under the Communist Party. And now many are reverting to house churches. Other countries gather in forests, secret places. Others need to stay with their families in their dwellings because of the bitter enmity. Do we oftentimes think of the blessings and the privileges we have? 5 years ago, then in the middle of March, then there was COVID. Not such an easy time. Do we ever think about that time, or do we forget all about it? Also, when each time freely, unhindered, we do not have to be afraid. Our boys and girls did not have to say, "Father and mother, what do you think this evening? Do you think perhaps the policeman will come to arrest the consistory, put him in jail, and send us all home?" Oh, may we be given to count our blessings one by one. And accompanied with fervent prayer, that his word may be richly blessed in these serious and solemn times. Thus Paul, the prisoner, the address, the recipients, Philemon, likely his wife, a minister of the gospel, and the church and his house. Our second thought, the salutation in this letter. Let us first sing. Psalter 369, the three stanzas. How pleasant and how good it is when brethren in the Lord and one another's joy, delight, and dwell in sweet accord, and what follows, 369, the three stanzas. Secondly, the salutation in this letter, a grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this salutation, not only a desire and a prayer, but Paul, in the name of a sender, the richest proclamation of the grace of God. And that word grace, we could describe it thus, with the five letters, God's riches at Christ's expense. And the church, and that is the wonder congregation, the grace of a triune God, Ephesians 2 verse 8, by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And now for the church, not only grace in the beginning, when the Lord regenerates the sinner, when the Lord sheds his love abroad in the heart, when the Lord draws, and when the Lord instructs, but that is also continuing grace. Each time by renewal, the church, we have heard it from the confession, without me ye can do nothing. That is concerning the fallen man, but that is also the experience of the child of God. But also Philippians 4 verse 13, I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengtheneth me. But then not only grace to you and peace. They were the words of the resurrected Christ on the evening of the resurrection when he said, peace be unto you. He has repeated it. And then he has shown how that peace was merited. Oh, in Isaiah 9 verse 6, he is called the Prince of Peace. And how is it now possible that peace may be declared? We have heard it from Article 14. How deeply we have fallen, enemies of the Lord, of grace and of a Son. And now how may peace be declared? How we have heard it in the Passion Weeks, that Christ has suffered and died. He is resurrected. He has satisfied justice, paid the debt, and glorified his Father's attributes. And then Paul is given to declare from God our Father, that is the origin. The Father from eternity has chosen that church, given his Son, and then the meriting cause, and the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, that means owner and master, Jesus Savior, and Christ means anointed. Thus Paul in that salutation was given to speak of spiritual blessings. For God's people, of course, it does not exclude, because Christ has merited his church, bought his church for body and for soul. Our third thought, the thanksgiving in this letter. And now we read that Paul, we have mentioned it, not so hasty to mention the slave. But now in verse 4, I thank my God. And why did Paul thank? What were the reasons? Well, then Onesimus, then he has given a report of Philemon, the church, and his household. And that was a favorable report. Oh, when he has run away, then undoubtedly he had much unkind things to say. Happens oftentimes when people leave the truth. Then they want to justify themselves. And they have much to say, although we think of the time of the Reformation. There were Romans, staunch Roman Catholics, that did not agree what the doctrine of the Protestants. They were brought up as Roman Catholics. But there were those also concerning the leaders of the Reformation. Frederick III, when he was called upon to appear before the great ones of the earth concerning his catechism, and the enemies have stated that he was such a godly man. But now Onesimus, oh, to receive a new heart. And then we see things so different. Does that report from the slave, and maybe from other people? And then Paul was given to thank, I thank my God, who doeth all things well, all things known unto him, all things work together for good to them that love him. Also Paul, I'm a prisoner in Rome. And then under those circumstances, when we have difficulties, then there can be much self-pity, and then we can focus much on ourselves, and that we forget the blessings of the Lord. Of course, in that respect, it's easier to be a doctor than a patient, to tell our fellow man when they have grave difficulties, it can be multiplied out. And then when we have prosperity, then we can speak of the Lord and that he doeth all things well, and that we must count our blessings one by one, and then it can even be that in our prosperity we do not even do it. But now Paul, he was in prison, it is true, still had many liberties, certain liberties, but still a prisoner of Jesus Christ. And then he was given, I thank my God. And how did that become evident? Making mention of the always in my prayers. And that word always must not understand it in the absolute sense of the word. Same in the Bible when we read of all. That is many, the greater part. But it implies that Paul, he has heard through Onesimus of the church in the house of Philemon, special bands have been laid. And then in that faraway Rome, 1,000 miles away, then often the prisoner was at the throne of grace, begging the Lord for the welfare of the church in Colossae. That was a matter that the Spirit is bound upon his heart. Because Paul has also written to the Romans in Romans 8 verse 26 that he did not know what to pray as he ought. But the Spirit maketh intercession with groanings which cannot be uttered. It was a fruit of the great high priest at the right hand of the Father. And for that great high priest, there it is always. And there it is perfect. For Paul, it was only in part. Nevertheless, when the Lord grants those exercises, then the Lord lays special bonds. Oh, then the Apostle Paul, because we do not only read it in Philemon, read it of Timothy and other churches, then Paul had many matters and many people to lay before the Lord. Then it was not with Paul. Lord, wilt thou remember all the churches and all the congregations? But it is implied more particular. How is it, fathers and mothers, with your children? Is it always, my children, which thou hast given me? Or are there also times that you mention them separately by name with their particular needs? It's what we read of Paul. Because he said, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. And what was now the reason that Paul was given to thank the Lord? Oh, he had heard a special report of that church in the house of Philemon. Hearing of thy love and faith. In scripture, sometime the other way around, faith and love. We can only love someone whom we have learned to know. And that faith, it shall bear the fruits of love to God, to his word, to his law, and to his people. Hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast, still a blessing when by the common goodness of God, that the Lord still grants love and compassion. How often we hear it, that in the hospitals, that there is much love, much care, and much compassion. What a blessing it is when there may be much love in the family circles. But in that house church of Philemon, was not only horizontal, still a blessing when it is, when there is still horizontal love. But Paul was given to thank not only for love, but also for faith. That is that true saving faith. And therefore he mentions, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus. That's not only toward the Lord, Lord as a people, not strange to them. Psalm 116, I love the Lord, for he hears my prayers and my supplications, but the necessity to come to a saving knowledge, the Lord, our master, our owner, when we become a servant, when we become a handmaiden. And then I read in 1 John 5 verse 1, those that are begotten of the Lord by grace, they shall also love those others. Then there comes a love for the people of God. Psalm 119, verse 63. I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that love thy precepts. All where Ruth thy people shall be my people and thy God my God. and then they are willing to suffer persecution. The joy in this letter, because we have great joy, and then we read further, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual. And then Paul does not mean that in that church in Colossae that they could give faith to their fellow man. That is the desire for those that truly fear the Lord. When the Lord impresses divine realities upon our hearts and we learn who the Lord is, we learn our sinnership. We learn, we believe that we have a soul that is lost, that needs to be saved. When we are given to believe that the thread of our life is so brittle, then it also becomes for our children, for our husband, for our wife, and for our fellow man. Oh, then it is the desire that all people would seek the Lord. And we are called to use the means, fathers and mothers, to instruct their children. But to convert them, that is the work of the Spirit. But what are we now to understand? That the communication of thy faith may become effectual. That speaks of the fruits of faith. Do we not read in our Heidelberg Catechism concerning good works? Also that our neighbor may be won over by the fruits of faith. Also in the time of Paul, when they went out to preach the gospel, then the heathens, then they watched the families very closely, how it was with husbands and wives, with the children, their relationships. Thus that the communication of thy faith that speaks of the fruits, and we read of those fruits in Galatians 5, the verses 22 and 23, may become effectual, that it may be blessed by the Spirit, by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. We read in James 1, verse 17, that every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variables nor shadow of it turning. Thus of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. That the fellow travelers, that they may be won over, filled with a holy jealousy, that they may be given to see thee have a religion that is real, genuine, sincere, willing to sacrifice, willing to suffer, that they may have something what the unconverted do not have. For we have great joy and consolation. Oh, Paul in prison. He was also a man. Undoubtedly not so easy. Has preached with so much fruit, established so many congregations. Paul knew how the Lord had called him, and it is true in his house. We mentioned the last verse of Acts 28, could still preach the kingdom of God, but still under house arrest. Thus, cannot be different. Also days, because Paul, he could not exercise that faith himself. And with everything that he has experienced, he needed continual grace. So dependent to be administered out of heaven, out of that precious mediator to receive grace for grace. But now Paul in prison, there was something that has made him exceeding joyful. And that's when he heard how it was in Colossae in that house church of Philemon. Oh, then he was refreshed. Old Apostle John in 2 John 4. I greatly rejoiced when I found of thy children walking in truth. And in 3 John 4, I have no greater joy when I hear of my children walking in the truth. That was the report that Paul has heard of the house church in Colossae. What report do we give? Then let us turn it unto ourselves. I hope not. The report, Sunday Christians in doctrine, but their life, world conformed, or a self-righteous Pharisee that we speak as if we are better than everyone else, also our community, that we stand far above them, or can it be seen that we truly fear the Lord? Maybe do not dare to speak so much. It's a general rule. First revealed in our life before with our tongue. But that we may be given to walk in the tender fear of the Lord. Learned that we can never save ourselves, that the Pharisee many times, oftentimes, each time by renewal, becomes a publican, and to learn that by the works of the law, no flesh can or shall be justified, that it is all free and sovereign grace. Oh, when it may be seen, when there are boys and girls walking in the tender fear of the Lord, our youth with that good choice of a Ruth, family circles separated from the world, earnestly seeking the Lord. Oh, we read in Luke 15, for a sinner that repenteth, that there is joy in the presence of the angels, but that also grants joy in the life of the church, in the life of office bearers. For we have great joy in consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Oh, then Philemon, when he start reading that letter, what is now the purpose, Paul, that you begin in such a way? Oh, undoubtedly, there was a bond. But Paul, hitherto, has not mentioned the slave. It's a few verses later. Nevertheless, a holy joy. We read And Psalm 35, verse 9, and my soul shall be joyful in the Lord, shall rejoice in his salvation. Amen. Let us close. Our Lord, we have heard of wonderful things. May we as a people be given to resemble that house church in Colossae. Then thou grant us so many extra privileges. We may have a sanctuary where we may gather each time by renewal. Well, thou add thy richest blessing. Watch over us in the furtherance of this week. Keep from harm and danger, from sin and temptation. Bring us safely to our dwellings. Gather us on the Sabbath day. Remember the confession of faith class. Pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 6, the stanzas 3 through 6. But know the Lord has set apart the man of godly life and heart to be his favored one for a Jehovah hears me when I pray. And what follows, Psalter 6, 3 through 6. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.